because she sent me the audio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Lane Keys, Real Talk. We're back with another episode. This is lucky number 22. Lucky for something. I'm not sure what it is, but we're going to figure that out. We're going to get into some breakdowns, and we're going to figure that out. Maybe it's because we came up with the rundown in about 22 seconds. I'm not sure. That might be it. Anyways, we got me, you know, Keys. We introduced ourselves about a zillion times. We got Lee, my boy Lee in Denver, of course, very important. We got a couple topics we're going to break down tonight. We haven't really been talking our UFC stuff, man. We haven't really, it's like the last couple of shows, which is okay. The last couple of shows, you know, we've been kind of getting to some, world topics, some other important things, other agenda that, deserves discussion. So, you know, some things that we should have, you know, particularly some more dialogue about and, important issues like that. And that was good. You know, we got to give them some fight talks, too, because that's what this show was built off. So we're going to get into that tonight. And my boy Lee is going to. He's going to kick us off with something that he wanted that was on his mind today. So, Lee, throw it out there for him. We're going to break it down.
Yeah. Well, actually, speaking of 22, that was my basketball number. I always wore 22 and when I played ball. So, you know, 22 is a good number. But, man, you know, I wanted to talk about it was an interesting article that was presented to me this week by a coworker because she had asked me how did I feel about transgenders fighting in MMA. And I was like, transgenders? I was like, I say Cyborg is actually a female. I mean, I know that the way she looks, you know, some people feel like, you know, she's built like a guy, but, you know, she's actually a female. Then she sent me this article from the Bleacher Report about this transgender guy who is a female and he wants to fight in the UFC or he's fighting in another organization. I can't really recall what the specifics of the article. So, you know, I floated it to my man Keys. But my thing is, If he done had the full-blown surgery where there's no more penis and the hormones are more in tune to being a female than a man, then I probably could see him, or should I say her, fighting in the UFC. But if they haven't had the full-blown surgery and there's still some aspects of the person being a male, then no. I don't see that being fair fighting a woman when you still possess your man's strength and all that good stuff. So, you know, I'm quite sure it's going to be – that was a low-key article that came out, and UFC never said anything about it. I know Joe Rogan, he made his feelings strongly felt that he felt like the person shouldn't fight women because, you know, they still probably have the strength of a man, but – I don't know whether or not Joe Rogan is fully abreast of the surgery and what goes about within the surgery of changing a man to a woman as far as the hormones and all that good stuff. But, you know, man, that was an interesting topic that I wanted to bring up. And, you know, if our callers out there, our listeners out there, if you have a certain idea or a certain take or a certain opinion on that topic, please give us a call and let us know what you think. How you feel about that, Keys?
I think based on what you just said about the Joe Rogan, like him not understanding the process, I think I must not. Well, I know I don't understand the process because I didn't really think too much about what the process might be. I'm just not educated, but I just assumed when I watched the, I don't know if it read an article or a video, but when I seen the footage of it, what he was saying, I just went with what he was saying because he was talking about the bone structure of a male and this and that. He's saying if you're actually a female biologically, well, he didn't say biologically, I kind of did, but he said if you're a female, you're actually a female, but you want
to, wait,
by
no,
birth. Or she's
I think he used
male.
The word by birth.
So whichever she was a, if she's actually a female, actually a male, but she wants to fight in the opposite division. So she's actually a male and she wanted to fight against women because she identifies as a woman, which is okay. It's perfectly fine. But to be in the cage and to compete at this level, where that's kind of dangerous. So if that's just how I looked at it. If she was actually a man and she wanted to fight against women, then I don't see how that would be fair for the woman she's got to fight if she's biologically a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, like I said,
exactly.
Is that I must be uneducated about the process, because if when you if she were to get changed, like has a sex change or you know whatever the case, and if that happens and they change her, you know, internally or and what else, you know, happens, I don't know if her body changes. That's the thing that I'm basically trying to say, is that physically I wasn't aware that she would be or that she was, you know, had the same, like that she was physically a woman. You know what I mean? Like, I get the sex change.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
I get it.
Like, I'm talking about her muscles and like the way that, like her build, like what kind of armory is she working with at this point? Like, if she has the same build as a man, but she's a woman, or she has the same build as a woman, but she's trying to fight with men. So that's how I looked at it.
I mean, yeah, I get it, man, because a lot of people don't, because they do the surgeries. I know Colorado is famous for doing the surgeries, the transgender surgeries. And I know one of the things that the doctors require the patients to do is they have to go on hormone pills, you know, to even out the, you know, to get rid of the testosterone and replace it with estrogen or whatever, whatever. So, you know, man, it's a complicated process. But on with you, depending on the build and the strength, you know, I would think twice about having a transgender fight a female, you know, a man going to fight a female. So, and I would have a problem with a female that's, you know, that went from being a girl to a guy fighting guys. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a weird scenario, because you don't want to be like, what I want to say, we don't want to stereotype and we don't want to pigeonhole nobody from, you know, doing what they want to do in life as far as, you know, occupation or whatever. But this is kind of a safety thing for me and you. Me and you are on the safety side. We don't want, you know, somebody to be at an unfair advantage, to have an unfair advantage and use that to, you know, win fights or, you know, to take advantage of their opponent. So, you know, man, it is what it is. It was an interesting topic. And when it was brought to my attention, you know, I immediately brought it to your attention. And, you know, we decided to bring light to it today. But, my man, what's on your mind tonight, man? What you want to talk about?
I mean, my last pitch on that, and I'm gonna jump into, you know, what I got ready is that, you know, definitely we're kind of seeing it like up for the safety of the other competitors. That's what I'm saying, is like people who got to get in there, and you don't think that they don't know that was a man before. I don't even know if the ladies out there would even submit. I don't even know if they'd want to sign a contract to do that. I don't, like, because, you know, if Cyborg, like I've heard so many times people say Cyborg could fight in men's division, or, you know, they said at one point Ronda Rousey could have fought in, you know, against bantamweight division, you know, like with Cody and TJ, like in the men's bantamweight.
That's ridiculous.
Division. She could have fought one of those guys, and, Yeah, you know how it is, like the hype train, you know, they do that. But they were saying that at one point, and I thought that was crazy even then. I mean, I understood why they were saying it, because you know how people get. Like, I understood. I get where, you know, people get excited about their favorite fighters. I mean, you know, just, you know, 4 weeks ago, you know, not even like 5 or 6 weeks ago, people were saying Francis Ngannou could be a champion in boxing. And they were talking about he's going to go switch over and have a boxing fight. I mean, then now it's like, you know where I'm going with this. The hype train,
yeah.
That's a different scenario, but you know how people get. They get excited, and they want to see something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then and they talk all this stuff, and then it doesn't live up. So, anyways, that I'm getting off, but I think those girls wouldn't really agree to that, and then I wouldn't blame them. Anyways, what I want to jump into was that we had seen a crazy main event this past Saturday. Yeah, so today's Wednesday. This past last Saturday, we just saw a crazy main event. You had a featherweight fight. You had Jeremy Stephens, who is just coming off a fight. The boat this time last month, he fought. He
yep.
just had a knockout win versus Duho Choi. That was this time last month. That was probably like the second week of January around that time. So that was, 6 weeks out, whatever. That's still kind of pretty crazy. I mean, he finished the fight, didn't even get a full training camp, and then went back into a main event and got another knockout win. I mean, I don't know. This dude's getting crazy on us. But, and then before that, he had the Melendez fight, but, I mean, that was kind of whatever. He kind of just was kicking the legs off of him, and I think Melendez had been injured, and he must have been injured early on in the fight. The dude looked like he could barely even stand the whole fight. I mean, his legs were so I felt bad. Like, that fight might have should have been stopped. They should have let Melendez go put his feet in some ice water and put the frozen vegetables on it. That dude was looking rough in the first round. Stevens was kicking the legs off that man. That was just – anyways, so we've seen Jeremy Stephens, and he's been on a run. He just got a knockout win over Josh Emmett, and Josh Emmett just had a flash knockout win, which was – he was a big underdog in this match, too, is he fought Ricardo Lamas. He fought Lamas, I think it was December. It was right, yeah, it was
short
around December 17. Yeah, he was a fill-in for Jose Aldo when he went to go. He dropped out to fight Holloway in their rematch where he lost there. And so that was that. And Josh Emmett come out, and he put on a good performance. It's not like it was a first-round stoppage or anything. It's not like he didn't stand a chance. He had all the chance in there. I mean, he even had a knockdown, I think, I don't know if it was the first or second round, but I know he had a knockdown at one point. Stevens, he said after two in the fight, he kind of was – he got knocked down. He kind of got – I mean, it kind of shook him up like he got hit. You don't even know what he got hit with. And but anyways, it was controversial at the end because – they were saying that he had a legal knee to Josh Emmett's head, but if you look at it during the fight, and even in the fight, I saw that I looked at it, I was like, man, that knee didn't even connect. Like, this dude kind of just looked like a fool right there. He tried to throw, like, a knee to this man's head, and it, like, completely missed, but then he, like, followed it up with some, dangerous-looking elbows anyways, which, Josh Emmett kind of fell back, and then Jeremy finished on the strikes, I think, after that. I think it was strikes at the very end. The referee didn't stop the fight. And now everybody, and their mothers out there saying that it was, this is controversial now. Like, everybody's saying, oh, like, that was a legal knee. Like, it trying to damper down the shock value of the win and take away the shine off of the finish, when that was at least to me, that's a legal finish to me, because first of all, and this is really all that needs to be said, if there was something illegal that happened at any one of those strikes, the fight should have been stopped right there, and it should have been ruled a no contest, but that didn't happen, so I don't know why it's even relevant to even keep going on saying it's an illegal knee. The fight wasn't stopped, the man lost, and that's it. Emmett come out, and he's even making excuses. He even sounds sorry. He sounds defeated. And he going to take that L, just like when you knock out Ricardo Lamas, he had to take that L, but you don't have him out here crying. You don't have him crying. So you got to go cry. Josh Emmett, go cry, okay? It's understandable. You lost. You lost the fight, and take it and get better from it, and that's it. And the referee, man, that referee, he knows whether he know what he saw. The dude was right there. He knows what he saw. So clearly, that's a decision for the officials to make, not for people to just debate you know, and that's just, you know, they're trying to take the shine away. What do you think about it, though, anyways?
I think the controversy started when on the post-fight show, you had Dominique Cruz, who trains with Jeremy Stephens, and, you know, Dominique Cruz, you know, he had his boy back, and, you know, they went through the slow motion, you know, the knee missing, but when the knee was coming back, he hit the Emmett's head. So then they cut to John Anik and Daniel Cormier, who were calling the fight. DC goes on, says that, yes, the initial knee strike missed Emmett, but on the follow-through, it nicked him, and being that it made contact, it should have been considered an illegal knee, and the fight should have been stopped. And then you have Michael Bisping, who was also on the set with Dominique Cruz, who said that some of the elbows that Emmett received could have been looked at as illegal because they was hitting him in the back of the head. But the only reason they would hit him in the back of the head was because when you watch it, he was scrambling, you know, trying to get back to his feet, trying to, you know, be defensive. So my whole thing is the referee didn't stop the fight. When he originally threw the knee, it didn't hit. And when the knee came back, it barely grazed him. It wasn't that impactful. So then after the fight, you know, Steven said that he talked to Emmett and everything was good. He talked to Emmett's corner, everything was good. So then 2-3 days later, Emmett comes back and say, you know, whatever, whatever. But the fight was, I think Emmett was outclassed. I mean, you know, he came out, had a good first round, but he got caught. And in the UFC, all it takes is one mistake, one hit, one knee, one kick to change the tide of the fight. And that's what happened. So Emmett just needs to go back to the drawing board, you know, fight somebody else and keep it moving. And Stevens, he probably needs to fight somebody else and then secure his title shot. So that's my opinion. That's what I saw. That's how I feel. And I think all the controversy stemmed when DC and Dominique Cruz started going at it on the post-fight show.
Yes, it seems like nowadays you got a 3-fight win streak in any division, you get a title shot. But then again, guys get title shots for less than that nowadays. So for Jeremy Stephens to have a 3-fight win streak in the featherweight division right now is kind of big, especially being that you have, you know, two dangerous guys, and then you have somebody who was a dangerous guy in the lightweight division who he fought one of those times. I don't think none of those guys ever held, that were ever champions, but nowadays you don't really need to be a champion to be dangerous. You know, you could be one or the other. It's kind of easy to come by in the UFC today. And, yeah, that controversy is bogus, and I didn't even save time for it because I wasn't even going to save time for it. So forget that. But forget that. Jeremy Stephens, he should just go on and fight maybe the loser of this weekend's co-main event, you know, Frankie Edgar and Brian Ortega. Maybe he could fight the loser of that. That kind of seems a little bit too easy for me. Maybe the UFC might want to try and get him in there with somebody else who they can, you know, something they can do a bit more soon, because, you know, let's just say, you know, Brian Ortega beats Frankie Edgar, let's just say, all right? I'm probably going to bet Brian Ortega on DraftKings, by the way, to all the listeners. If you buck with DraftKings on DraftKings, I'm just letting you know, I'm probably going to take Brian Ortega, but I'm rooting for Frankie Edgar, and I expect that he will win, but I'm going to vote Brian Ortega because I think he has a big chance too. You know, he's a submission artist, and that thing he did to Cub Swanson was kind of awkward looking. It was kind of a weird finish. But it was that dude is like a spider or something. So I don't know. Frankie, he derails all these guys though. So
I'm rooting for Frankie, but I'm going to take Brian Ortega on DraftKings. You know, I think the UFC, that move would be a bit too obvious for them, and that doesn't seem like they're usually a bit more complicated with their matchmaking than to just throw him in there with the – I mean, those loser bracket fights don't always kind of pan out that way. You know, Stevens might get somebody else because, you know, let's just say Frankie loses, like I said, then what, you want him to have fight Stevens? I mean, that he already beat him. I don't see why that would even – that wouldn't even make sense. I don't think Frankie would care to take that fight. He already beat him. He dominated him. And when they fought, you know, the first time, so we would definitely not take that fight. And if Brian Ortega loses, I don't really think he would want to take that fight either. You know, I think he'd want to fight somebody in the top three still and try and get back, because who knows? Like, Frankie might pull out, you know, the next time, and then he could fill in, you know, in the title fight or something like that. Because, you know, these guys pulled out twice. You know, Holloway and Frankie were supposed to fight before, and then you know, Frankie pulled out, and then this time there's a fight. Now Holloway pulled out. So, you know how those were kind of unpredictable. You wouldn't have expected neither one of them guys were going to pull out. You know, Holloway doesn't even pull out of fights like that. You know, neither does Frankie.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't known to pull out. So who knows? Like, that scenario, that could happen. But I just don't think the UFC is going to go with a simple matchmaking move like that. You know, they've been a little bit more strategic lately. What's it called? And
yeah, I just think with Stevens though, see, I'm one of those people that a 3-fight win streak don't mean nothing, man. To me, you got to piece together, like, you know, 5-6 wins in a row, you know, over top guys, you know, and especially with him already having lost to Frankie, that kind of like puts him behind the 8-ball a little bit. So I don't have the rankings up for that division right now, but I'm thinking that he beat Mark Emmett, which is number 4. So I'm thinking that Stevens probably gonna move up, probably to about maybe number 6, maybe no, he's not gonna move below 4. So he might have to fight another fight. You know, I would say, I don't know whether or not he fought Jose Aldo. Maybe that'll be a fight he would take, you know, to prove that, you know, he deserved a championship fight, you know, beating a former champ. But we'll see what happens, man. It's an interesting time in the UFC. My theme this year is I'm all about new blood. So, I mean, I love Frankie Edgar, and that's the only guy who I want to see win the belt, because I think he deserves it. I think a lot of champions have ran for him. I think your boy Aldo lost to him the second time around. I thought Holloway might run from him, but Dana White put an end to that. So we'll see what happens, man. With Stevens. You know, we'll see what happens with Stevens and Emmett.
So I just pulled up the rankings, and I thought about three fights I could picture Jeremy Stevens doing or getting booked in 2018. It's actually 4, if you want to count Aldo, because I was thinking about Aldo. I think he might have called out Aldo in 2017, but it didn't come to fruition. But that's the first one. But the other three that I had, which I think – you know, are very likely too. And you can quote me on this, you know, if one of these ends up getting booked, I won't be surprised. So him and, you know, he could take Ricardo Lamas. You know, he's still, you remember, he was up there. You know, he fell from the heights, but that's still a fight. You know, Stevens could take that. He could take Darren Elkins, you know, just come off a win versus Michael Johnson. Darren Elkins, you know, he actually throws a lot more strikes than I think we can see. And he's like in top 10 or something in strikes thrown in the UFC, like, of all time. You know, GSP is number 1.
Okay.
Darren Elkins is probably like number 9 or something, 9-10 like that. The guy throws a lot more strikes than, like, I guess that we noticed. I mean, the last time I saw him, I definitely picked up on, I was like, man, this guy really got a chin. I mean, the way he was taking Michael Johnson was, I was sure he had that in the bag, you know. Like, he was landing on Darren Elkins, you know what I mean? He was landing, but, dude, the boy got a chin. I mean, I feel like he just took everything. And then I think he ended up winning by submission or something like that, like, later on in the fight. Like, I only watched that live the first time. I don't really remember it, but it was something like that. It just seemed like he let, you know, Michael Johnson get tired, you know, throw all of his heavy shots, and then took him out, you know, by submission later on, knowing he could do that. So, but, I mean, just being able to take shots in this division, I mean, can get you – can go a long way. I mean, Jeremy Stephens probably can go that route. You know, Holloway goes that route most of the time. You know, Aldo will probably throw, you know, goes that route most. There's a lot of guys that just mostly strike, and a lot of the top guys mostly strikers. So being able to have a chin and do what he does is actually pretty significant. So, and if you can, if you can take all the shots from Michael Johnson, he's not, I mean, Michael Johnson knocks guys out too. People forget his power. And also, the other fight that I was thinking he could take would be Cub Swanson. If Cub Swanson wants to do another fight in the UFC, I don't know if he's still on the contract, but, I mean, he's number four. Oh, Stevens actually jumped three spots with that win. Stevens is at number five now.
Okay.
Man, did I tell you that he was going to jump to five, like, a couple days ago?
No, you said he would trade places with you said he would trade places with Emmett, that he would go to number four.
Oh, yeah, Emmett dropped two spots. He's at number six. Yeah, but Stevens is in the top five now, though, so he still think he's one fight away from a title shot, really. I mean, thinking about it, he doesn't need – I mean, four guys, two of those guys are not in the top five. You know, including Emmett's not in the top five. Lamas isn't in the top five anymore. But I could see if they booked him and Cub Swanson, I could believe that. I mean, because you have Edgar and Ortega fighting, and they both fought not that long ago, and they're already, you know, getting back in there. They might not even want, they might be chilling back for a while after. You know, Frankie might just, especially if Frankie wins, if you think both ways, if Frankie loses, he's not fighting Jeremy Stephens. If he wins, he's still not fighting him, but if either one of them wins, they're probably going to want to chill and wait for the title shot. And the person who loses, but I don't think they're going to want, they might not want to take him, because they're probably going to want to, I mean,
what,
five, they don't,
well,
have,
I see Ortega fighting. I see Ortega fighting Stevens, but I wouldn't see Frankie fighting Stevens.
Yeah, that's the more likely.
The winner of that other Frankie Ortega fight is definitely going to fight Holloway sometime this year for the belt. So we already know that's going to happen. Now, the thing is with Stevens is I'd rather see him fight Elkins, man, because I think that would be an entertaining fight. I'm really not a Cub Swanson fan. So I think Cub has tried to talk his way into title shots. And every time he has tried to talk his way into a title shot, he has lost. He has lost. When he tried to talk his way into a title shot, and he fought Frankie and lost. Then the last time, just recently, he tried to talk his way into a title shot, and he lost again. So I would definitely love to see Elkins and Stevens. I think that'll be the fight to make, more so than Stevens versus Swanson.
Well, you know, I think I was just thinking about this off top, and I thought you'd probably say no. You probably wouldn't like this idea, but what about if Holloway, you know, can get back, you know, to in good standing and he's ready? What if he locks in and just waits and jumps on the Khabib and Ferguson card with Frankie, or, you know, assuming Frankie.
Which card, I mean, is that? That's 220. Which one is that?
That one's in April. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I know that one's like early April. So if he was going to get back,
man,
he got like
February,
a little over a month. Yeah, tomorrow is March 1st.
I don't know about that one. Yeah, so I don't know when
that's
going to work.
So. Yeah, maybe not, but that could just be, you know, I'm getting imaginative here trying to think of like a dream card or something. Because that card's already kind of crazy.
I'm thinking that the winner of the Frankie Ortega fight will probably be during International Fight Week in Vegas. I'm thinking that's going to be probably around about July, or they may put it in June. But it's definitely going to be a summer card. It's not going to be it's not going to be sooner than that. So
it's funny how those two guys were trying to, when they tried to get those guys in there, Ferguson and Khabib, the first time was actually around this time in 2017. It's weird,
yeah.
Like how it kind of, because they were supposed to fight at 209, which was, I think, this card last year, or that around that time, the same card in 2017. It's weird how that came about. But anyways, I'm getting off topic here. What was I? So the UFC 222 is this weekend. I think I got my disinterest in that card as a whole had played a part in me almost forgetting what I was even going to talk about next, because I'm very uninterested in that card as a whole. So Lee, if you want
to
jump in and give a we don't even got to give predictions for it. If you want to give a prediction for one of the fights that you may want to see, by all means, I don't even care to analyze these fights.
The thing is me and you, we are definitely in agreement on this card, on this 222 card, that is whack. And then with them having Cyborg headlining the card against the 145 bantamweight champion from Invicta. If she was that good, she wouldn't be in Invicta. She would be in the UFC. So they trying to build this as a champ versus champ fight. Man, boo. They just should have made UFC 222 a fight night. And you have Frankie and Ortega main event it in a 5-round fight. And then you bring some of the undercard guys up, you know, to the main card, and you just showcase it like that. Don't try to force feed Cyborg down our throat as a dominant champion when we all know that the 145 division is weak and she has nobody to fight in that division. Everybody that she has to fight has to come up from bantamweight. So come on, man. I mean, once again, my idea is to disband the 135 and the 145 division, make it 140. You had the two current champions fight it out at 140, and the winner becomes the undisputed champ. And then you just go, then you just come up with a ranking system and have everybody get in line. But that's just me. I think the UFC is trying to create way too many women divisions because now, you know, they got the 115, then they just created the 125, they had 135, then they got 145. It's just too much. It ain't enough women to fill all those slots. So stop trying to make the women's division and the men's division equal out. You got to think outside the box. Get rid of 135 and 145. Make it 140. You will have better fights that way. You will have better matchups. You will have more intriguing fights. So, man, that's my idea. And I know you sent me something today where there was a poll taken about the best female fighter of all time. And I think Cyborg had like 47% of the votes. And I think Ronda Rousey had 32%.
I was just about to bring that up, too, because, I seen the poll and it was saying the question was, who is the greatest female fighter of all time? And they had Cyborg on there. They had Rousey. They had Ronda Rousey on there. They had Joanna was on there. And then I think the fourth option was said other, something like that. So they had other.
Yeah, it was
other. You know, that other was a rising contender. Might get a title shot soon. He's gaining some hype with the fans, so might be the GOAT. I don't know. You know, the thing that killed me about it is that how quick everybody jumps on. And first of all, I'm somebody who judges these kind of debates off of accolades. I'm talking about what have you done to be great. So if you're going to say who's the greatest fighter or who's the greatest rapper, who's the greatest artist, you know, who's the greatest, you know, any category you want, who's the greatest quarterback, you know, of all time, or, you know, who's the greatest basketball player, who's the greatest point guard in the NBA. Like, when you're doing that, like, in the point guard in the NBA thing, in that example, that one's probably one of the only ones today where you could argue to me about someone being the best point guard that doesn't have many accolades, and I would be hearing you out, because there's so many good point guards in the NBA, and a lot of them guys are just, they put up stats. Like, a lot of, they don't, like, these people don't have championships. You know what I mean? Like, Russell Westbrook puts up
stats
are crazy, but you know what I'm saying. But anyways, is that I'm looking at accolades, and if you look at that poll, I mean, I know this is like a fan thing, but what has Cyborg even done? Like, she fought a whole mess of people that I never heard of, and I didn't even hear about her fights. I didn't even hear about her until she was involved with the UFC. Until I started hearing her name and possibly fighting in the UFC, I did not have a clue about her. You know, it was until that time. So what has she done up until then? I don't know. And, you know, apparently she only lost, you know, her first fight, which was, you know, 2005 or so, and no one knew who that was either, so who cares? And then she's a champion of the division, and there's nobody in there to even fight her. So then they bring out all these other no-name people that I never heard of, you know, and come over here, and they look like shit. They're supposed to be, like, top fighters. The Tonya Evinger that she fought to win the belt, who the fuck is Tonya Evinger, okay? She fought her for a belt in the UFC, and there's nobody in that division. Never mind if that girl was the one girl in the division. We don't even know who she is. How's she in the division? When's her next fight?
Yeah.
I never heard of it. They're building up these no-name random fights, and Cyborg is winning the belt from that. And the division isn't even valid in the first place. That's not even a valid. They had one fight, and the champion, you know, backed out, and then the belt was vacant, and then they had a fight with two Cyborg and some random lady for the that was bogus to me. Okay, so then she gets the belt.
Yeah,
she fight Holly Holm. That fight was cool. She didn't finish her. They went the distance. It was whatever. She defends her belt. I gave her props for that, because Holly Holm is, I like her. You know, that's a notable win right there. So then she got that, and then now she's fighting another no name champion that I never heard of again, and my boy Lee never heard of her. And nobody's ever heard of her, but apparently they do. Once, you know, the Cyborg is fighting her, all of a sudden it's, you know, this champion, and it's going to be, you know, this high stakes, and man, who cares? That thing is bogus. So anyways, she's done nothing. She fought people we never heard of. And now Ronda Rousey and Joanna, if you're talking to me, accolades, they both had 5 title defenses in their respective divisions. Joanna thought she was going to surpass Rousey's record when she fought Rose. But then Rose, you know, knocked her out in, you know, I think the first or second round. I think it was even the first round, actually. Knocked out Joanna. So
first round.
She couldn't break it. If she had beaten Rose at that time, you could easily make the argument that she's the best female fighter of all time to me, and I wouldn't even bother trying to debate it, because at that point, you have the most successful title defenses. Just like my man Stipe. He's got the most consecutive title defenses in the heavyweight division. How can you not at least make a case for Stipe being the best heavyweight, you know, we've ever seen? How can you not say that? He has the most title defenses. I think that's a completely valid case for. You could say a lot of things. You don't need to have every
time. Man, come on, man. Stay on topic, man. So who your best female fighter of all time? Is either Ronda or Joanna? Who you got?
Yeah, Ronda Rousey, definitely. Is probably the best. I mean, Joanna, I think it's because of the fashion in which Rousey was beating fighters. She was winning at a high level. Joanna is winning at a very subtle level. She is beating fighters in a very, you know, it's not, there's no flash knockout. There's no anything. It's kind of just a, you know, a bland fight. You know, you kind of just, it's just kind of, she's doing it in fashion. That's how I feel about it. So Rousey, you know, she was exploding on that division, and she was putting down everybody. And you could argue too that she fought some no names, which, you know, that's I can roll with that, but I still think that Rousey, her dominance as a champion, did a lot more than what Joanna has done, especially with, I mean, they both went out pretty bad, but they both burned out pretty bad. So what do you think about it though?
Man, I would give it to Ronda only because, remember Dana White said he would never, ever, ever have women fighting in the UFC? And then he seen Ronda Rousey fight, and he created the bantamweight division just for Ronda Rousey. And she had to live up to that, man. She had a lot of pressure on her. And just for that simple fact alone, I would give it to her. But there's like a couple of people that we forgot that maybe the common fan don't even know about. Gina Serrano was like one of the best, one of the first women U.S. Mixed martial arts fighters to come around. I mean, she lost very badly to Cyborg, I want to say in WEC or Strikeforce. And I think at the time she lost to Cyborg beat her up pretty bad. But I want to say Cyborg got popped for steroids too. And I can't, and I was kind of surprised you didn't say this, because you are always against people that juice, people that use PEDs, steroids. And we know that Cyborg has a history of being a user. And that's why she will never be the greatest of all time of women fighters, because she has used before. And when you have used, it does put you at a competitive advantage. And plus, going back to what you said, they got a made-up division. She hasn't really fought anybody. If you look at the names that she has beaten, Gina Serrano is up there, Holly Holm, and then who else? Who else has she beaten? Whereas Ronda has beaten Miesha Tate twice. She's beaten, I want to say,
Kat Zingano.
She beat Kat Zingano. She beat Beth Correa. She beat the Liz Carmouche. Ronda has beaten some fighters, but it's kind of tough to really pick like a greatest woman fighter of all time, because, you know, they really haven't been around that long to really rank, them. So, but if I had to go, I would go with Ronda Rousey, and then I'd probably have Joanna number two, and then probably Miesha Tate number three, Amanda Nunes number four, and Holly Holm number five. Actually, you know what? I would have Gina Serrano in there too, because she was like the pioneer of women MMA fighters. So I'll probably have Gina Serrano probably tied at number five.
You know, when I was even going through that, I wasn't even considering Cyborg. I guess you make a good point how I didn't bring up the juicing thing, but I just hadn't thought, it didn't come to me off top. You had me thinking so much about the bogus fighters that she's fought to get this hype. But so that was on my mind. But yeah, that is true. She could never be the greatest because of that factor too. Same with your boy John Jones. Sadly.
Oh man, here we go again.
So
before John Jones was even popped for steroids, he had cleaned out a whole division. And then he gets popped for using cocaine after he beat Joe Boy DC, and then he get popped again for beating Yo Boy DC, I mean, come on, man. He had cleaned out a whole division, dog.
Hey,
but I'm gonna let
you
have it tonight. I'm gonna just let you. Let you have it tonight. I'm not even gonna go there.
You know who's you know what UFC champion never been popped for steroids? He's a welterweight champion.
He's a DC or Stipe. Oh Jesus Christ. Any which way to get T Woodley in this show.
But you
he
right,
would
though.
Get
yeah,
so
DC.
Much free air on our show. He gets so
Man.
Much free air on our show. We need to have him sponsor
hey.
Our show.
Oh, man. Hey, you make a good point, though. DC and Stipe, neither of them guys ever got popped for steroids, neither. So, you know, I'm glad you added that into the equation.
Oh, man, here we go.
So, another thing that I saw was Kevin Lee and Edson Barboza. I guess they just booked that one. They're about to fight in April in Atlantic City. How you feel about that one?
Oh, man. If the Edson Barboza that showed up against Khabib shows up, it'll be a short night for him. Kevin Lee will run through him. Actually, I'm going to pick Kevin Lee to win this fight because I like, you know, this is my year. I'm all about the new blood. And I think Kevin Lee is one of them guys that's on the rise. And
yeah, he's
going to
be good.
He's
going to be good, bro. He's going to be good.
And the thing is he had, I mean, he talks a good fight. I mean, he talks a good talk. He talks the talk. He walks the walk. And he has talent. So the thing is how will he rebound from losing to Ferguson? So we'll see what happens when he fights Barboza, but I'm picking Kevin Lee to win. I don't know where Barboza's head is going to be at after getting thoroughly dominated by Khabib. I think he even had a 10-7 round that he gave up to Khabib. So I don't know, man. I'm not on the Barboza train no more. I was a fan of his. But I'm a bigger fan of Kevin Lee, so I'm rolling with Kevin Lee in that fight.
Yeah, man, I kind of just say you're as good as your last fight. And based off of that, I mean, Edson Barboza, what's he like, a jiu-jitsu guy? He's got, like, those wild leg kicks that he throws, but, like, really he doesn't even always throw those. I mean, he's got a couple knockouts with his kicks. And fights, but he doesn't always do that. People kind of blow that out of proportion, I think, too, a little bit, you know, thinking that he is going to knock everybody out with a kick. Like, he doesn't always do that. You know, he is still a dangerous fighter, but I don't know, man. Khabib put the beats on him a little bit too much in that last fight, and Kevin Lee looked excellent versus Tony Ferguson. I actually was rooting for Kevin Lee, and I think we talked about it on our show. And I predicted Kevin Lee to win that fight because I wanted him to win that fight. But knowing damn well, like, all right, Ferguson might get him here. But I'm a root for Kevin Lee, though. No, I think Kevin Lee is going to look great. And he might even dominate Edson Barboza. You know what I think, too, is that this is the most hilarious and ironic matchup the UFC could have possibly made in the lightweight division at this point in time. You want to know why? It's because when they were going to – It's ironic and it's hilarious. You know, I know why. It's because when they were leading up to the Ferguson and Kevin Lee fight, if you remember, you might even know what I'm going to say, is that when they were talking, you know, they were talking smack to each other on the Fox broadcast or whatever. You remember Ferguson? He kept on telling Kevin Lee, he was like, you know, Kevin Lee was kind of like pitching the fight to him, like, oh, we should fight kind of thing. And then Ferguson was like, oh, you know who you need to do? You need to earn your stripes. He was like, you need to fight dudes like Edson Barboza. And he kept saying that he needed to fight Edson Barboza. And then while he said he needed to fight Barboza, what was he doing? He was basically saying, no, you can't fight me yet. You got to fight Edson Barboza. And then what happened? A couple months passed. Kevin Lee got Ferguson first. And then now he's fighting Barboza.
Now he's fighting Barboza, yep.
That's the most ironic thing, man, to line up in that way. Look how the karma, you know, kind of goes around for him You know, and then just that's a good lineup of fights for Kevin Lee. You know, he's gonna be good, man. I think he's gonna look excellent.
Hey, but I got another thing I gotta ask you. It's about your boy. This might go off topic a little bit, but me and you talked about it. But you know, I want to get your opinion on this. So earlier this week, it came out, or I think it was last week, that your boy Conor McGregor said he was willing to step in to fight Frankie when Holloway pulled out. And then Frankie's coach came out and said that was a lie and that Conor McGregor never approached the UFC about taking Max Holloway's place. And then Conor said that the UFC told him he couldn't do it because they couldn't get the money together they couldn't get the money to promote it or it wasn't enough time to promote the fight, la, 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 la. And then it brought up something hit me. Conor McGregor has the UFC in a bad spot. And you're a Conor fan. What do you think the UFC should do with this Conor McGregor problem that they have all of a sudden? And he's a champion.
Well,
he's currently a champion.
Well, Frankie said in the interview when he told Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour, he told him not only did they talk to Frankie like someone, I don't remember who he was talking to, but he said that like he heard about the fight, like he knew McGregor wanted to fight, but that it didn't end up. You know, he was willing to fight, too, but it just didn't – it fell through. It didn't happen. So, and I guess another thing he said was that he wanted it to be for a 165-pound title. He wanted to fight Frankie for a 165-pound title. There's not even a 165 – that's not even a thing in the UFC. I don't even know where that – that sounded – that was, like, the most weirdest thing to me. I think McGregor's getting loony, man. I think he doesn't even know what he wants. He's just making up belts, fake belts. He wants all the belts. The division's not even real. And he won't even defend in his own division, which is very real.
A 165
I don't know, man.
Belt.
That's 165 pounds.
Oh,
Frankie's fighting at 145.
Funny,
you want him to put on 20 pounds? Oh, I mean, unless Frankie's walking around at 170 or 180. I mean, I don't think he's that big of a guy. I mean, he said in the interview too that he was only like 8 or 9 pounds over at that time. So, I mean, I can't imagine Frankie's even. That might be his regular weight, but if he's even cutting, I don't even know if he's cutting 20 pounds. I don't know. I mean, he might even be a small. I don't know, but that just seems completely random to me. It's not even a real thing. So I don't know. I mean, I think that he's making up fake belts. I think the UFC. McGregor's making them look desperate with this kind of stuff. I mean, it's cool that he wants to fight Frankie, like, because I think competitively he wants to fight Frankie. Like, the idea and looking at it that way is cool. But in terms of the UFC, it's kind of sad because they need to jump at opportunities like that to create a big fight. And I'm sure that they wanted to create that fight, and you know, if possible, but I feel like it probably just couldn't happen. But I feel like the UFC did want that to work.
Well, I'm all right. See, I see you beating around the bush a little bit, so I'm just gonna come out and ask you straight up. So, Conor made his $100 million fighting Floyd. Conor would never ever make that money again. He would never make that type of payday fighting in the UFC. He says he wants to fight in the UFC, but we all know the UFC can't pay him what he thinks he deserves. So, is Conor ever going to fight in the UFC again? Should the UFC just go ahead and cut their losses and be like, well, you know what? The Conor McGregor thing was cool. We're moving on. What do you think should happen? Because I know you're a fan of Conor McGregor.
I mean, I don't think they really need to. I don't think the UFC really needs to do much. I think they could just. I don't think they need to. I mean, they don't really. It's weird because like a lot of guys that are stars in their era, and you could never picture like who the next guy would have been, you know, at that time. But then again, there's not many champions who kind of just came in to win belts, but then didn't like to defend belts. The UFC hasn't really been put in that spot. I think they should strip him of the belt, so then he's not as, you know, important of a. So they're not, you know, waiting on his, you know, every move to come back. So they don't need to rely on him, because then you can at least have a championship fight, and you can try to start building up some other guys. You know, like if one of these other guys gets the belt, you know, crown a new champion, and then start building, you know, hype around him, and you can kind of ease off. And you can just
exactly
kind of walk away.
That's
from
a good
thing,
idea,
you know what I mean?
Man. Yep, that's,
you know,
a great idea.
Stop making yourselves look desperate. Like, it's kind of sad.
Yep. Man, I never even thought of that, man. Because, you know, my whole thing was, is I know Dana White loves him. And I know Dana White sees him as, you know, I think he has at least 3 of the top 5 gates in UFC history. And I know he has, like, maybe 3 of the top 5 pay-per-views in UFC history. Man, my thing is with him, he has to realize that the UFC will never pay him what he thinks he's worth. So stop trying to hold the UFC hostage. And the UFC should just go ahead and strip him of the title, promote these other guys, Ferguson, Khabib, Lee, both Barboza, Eddie Alvarez, Gaethje, Poirier, all these guys, and start increasing the awareness about them, man. Don't keep trying to rely on Conor McGregor, somebody who really doesn't want to fight for your company. So, yeah, strip him, make the winner of the Ferguson Khabib fight the real champion, and if Conor wants to come back, you welcome back, open arms. He under contract, so it ain't like he can go somewhere else and fight. So it is what it is. He needs to be humbled. And that's the only way the UFC can humble him, is doing what you said do. Strip him, promote the other guys, and build up the rest of the division.
I mean, speaking of Kevin Lee, who we were just talking about, I think Kevin Lee could be, you know, the next guy. He could be the next one to – they won't need to worry about calls from McGregor anymore. You got Kevin Lee coming up. You got the personality, you know, he's breaking fights over the mic, and then he gets in there and performs with the same guys. You know, he's been calling out Khabib for a while. Maybe if, you know, he beats Barboza, and if Tony beats Khabib, maybe set up Kevin Lee and Khabib. I mean, that he's been wanting that fight for a while, and it's actually funny because I'm looking at this right now, and Kevin Lee, in an interview, predicted, you know, saying that McGregor would KO Khabib if they were to fight. But then, and the same thing, they asked him about Tony and Khabib, and he said he's leaning towards Tony because he's basically saying Tony takes a lot of shots, and then once you think that you've got him because of the way he's moving, he's really absorbing your shots, and he just, you know, he's able to take them and look like he's hurt, but he's not. But he keeps pushing the pace and the intensity. And he thinks Khabib's going to run out of gas pretty much. So he's picking Tony in that fight.
Because I think with me and you, we discussed what happens when Khabib can't take you down. What's his plan B? You know what I'm saying? What else can he do? Because I haven't seen him stand and bang. I haven't seen him, you know, go outside of his regular thing. Is he's going to take you down, man-hump you for the whole round, you know, a little bit of ground and pound, you know, stuff like that. But I have never seen him stand and bang with nobody. And just like with Damian Maia, if Damian Maia can't take you down, he is the most boringest fighter that you can watch on TV. And I want to – Ferguson has to be working on his takedown defense. As me and you are on this show right now, he needs to be working on his takedown defense. But, yeah, man, I'm just very disappointed in Conor McGregor, man. I'm not a fan of his, but I think you do have to have a sense of loyalty to Dana White just because he did go out of his way to allow you to fight Money Mayweather, to allow you to get the payday that you ever going to have. And Dana basically has to kiss your ass to get you to come back to the UFC. Come on, man. You got to be better than that towards Dana White, dog.
Yeah, man. It's pretty whack. You know, I wasn't even a big, you know, I wasn't too big into the Floyd fight in the first place. Like when they were trying to get it together, I was just, you know, I was actually, I was jumping towards, you know, the Khabib and Tony fight last year when it was supposed to happen. And I said, I wanted to see McGregor fight the winner of that. I wasn't really too interested in him and Floyd until I realized that he was, you know, his mind was set on fighting Floyd. And that was the only person he was going to be willing to fight. So once it came down to that, I'm like, okay, I don't think this guy's going to accept any other fights. And then after he fought Floyd, I said, wow, I think he'll come back to the UFC and fight now. But then now I kind of look like I was wrong again, because I don't know. He's making it look questionable now if he would even come back to fight, which is pretty whack because, like you said, Dana White got him in that position to be able to get that fight and pretty much made his life the way it is now. So he kind of just walking away like that is a little bit shady. And a lot of his fans would love to see him come back too. So, I mean, the UFC is his home, not the boxing ring and not, you know, Hollywood. So you would think that he would come back and, you know, for the love of the fans and things like that. But maybe he's too Hollywood now to do that. So that's pretty whack. And, you know, my man Kevin Lee, though, he's going to beat Edson Barboza, and then he's going to go fight Khabib, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. And maybe he gets Khabib out of there too, and then maybe Kevin Lee's a champion. Maybe he gets a rematch with Ferguson. I don't know. It's hard to tell at this time.
He has to win his next two fights, though. Kevin Lee has to win his next two fights. He has to beat Barboza convincingly, and then he needs to call out the winner of the Khabib-Ferguson fight. He has to call them out immediately after he wins.
But the winner of that is the champion.
Yeah. But he still got to call him out, though. Dana White not going to get him the champion. He's going to make him fight one more fight. So, and Ferguson has to know in the back of his mind that he has to win one more fight. So, but you still have to call out the, you know, he has to say, I want to fight the winner of the Khabib Ferguson fight. Then Dana White going to get him the loser, which I'm hoping is Khabib. And then if he beats Khabib, you can't deny him a rematch with Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, and I think they would be able to build the hype for that one and be even bigger. You know, because people weren't really, I don't think that fight got much, I mean, they promoted it, but still wasn't as big as maybe it could have been, especially with this. It was a pretty good fight, too. I think it was like 3-round fight or something. They had a pretty good scrap in there. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, for us as fans, we look at interim belt as a fake belt.
I mean, as
horrible as it sounds, that's what it is. As fans, they fighting for a fake belt. So I think this time around, you could really hype it up as they're fighting for the real belt, and, you know, Lee is out to avenge his first fight against Ferguson. And then, you know, when they do like the UFC countdown, you know, they're going to go by the play-by-play of how Ferguson had him beat. I mean, how Lee had him beat. And then Ferguson came back from the depths of hell to win, la, 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 la. So, you know, the UFC could do a lot of build-up
to lead Ferguson to. So, but the thing is, they both still have to take care of business. Ferguson gonna have to take care of Barboza, and I mean Lee has to take care of Barboza, and Ferguson will have to take care of Khabib.
Yeah, man. You know, we're gonna have to see how it pans out, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And aside from that, though, you know, we jumped back on a fight talk tonight. We hadn't done a show themed like this in a few, so that was dope. It was dope to get back. You know, this show was built off of this format pretty much, and this kind of content. So. It was good to you know, regress back and get back to that, not like taking a step back, but, you know, it was definitely good, man. And, you know, I just wanted to tell everybody that say no to drugs. Say no to drugs because there's a big, you know, the opioid crisis. It's too much. And
that's
why people are getting killed.
I totally agree.
People are getting killed, you know, by guns and things like that. Like, there's a lot of violence like that, but at the same time, it's like people don't talk about. There's a lot of people dying from overdosing, you know, on heroin and you know, the opioids. It's an epidemic. I mean, a lot of people you hear say it's an opioid epidemic. I mean, especially out here too, it's pretty bad out here. You know, Boston area is pretty. There's some heavy use around here for sure. I mean, I don't see it, but like I know it's a pretty big problem. I mean, the cops and everything. I've talked to a couple of police officers that, you know, bring that up. So go like, why you got, you know what I mean? And that they're definitely on the lookout out here. It's pretty bad. So, you know, say no to drugs because, you know, a lot of the stuff is gateway drug, and then, you know, you ruin your life. So stay in school. Do sports and watch MMA. You'll be good. Lee, you have any thoughts for the listeners?
On that note, my man Keith brought up an interesting point about opioid abuse. A lot of people, if you're on pain medicine and you feel like you're becoming addicted to it, talk to your doctor about using medical marijuana, because medical marijuana is less addictive. It's less harmful to your body. Medical marijuana, they remove pretty much the THC from the marijuana, so it isn't meant to get you high. It's meant to alleviate pain. I don't know whether or not Massachusetts has whether or not it's medical marijuana is legal there, but I know out here in Denver, medical marijuana is legal. A lot of people have actually moved to Denver for recreational weed use, but also for the medical weed use. You know, it helps cancer patients deal with the after effects of chemotherapy. It's definitely been used for pain, kids with leukemia and stuff like that. Medical marijuana is used. So do your research. I know doctors get paid a lot of money for their professional opinions, but at the same time, is you got to realize that the healthcare industry is also in cahoots with the pharmaceutical industry. So, you know, do your homework, you know, ask your doctor about medical marijuana, you know, whether or not you can use it, whether or not it's good, anything like that. And I think I brought this stat up before. Not a stat, but I think I brought this point up before, is that more people have died over opioid abuse or addiction than those that have died of weed overdose or weed addiction. So just do your homework and do what's best for you and your body. So on that note, I want to say that you've been listening to Lee and Keith's Real Talk once again. We did a UFC 22 preview. We did a little conversation on the greatest women MMA fighters of all time. We talked about transgender fighter in UFC or MMA. And, you know, me and my man Keys, you know, we decided to take it back to the fight game this week. But we'll give y'all something else either this weekend or next week. We got a lot of stuff on the table, so stay listening.
Yeah, of course. You know, I always say I appreciate everybody for calling up, everybody who supports. And, you know, if you ever want to call in, you have a topic you want to talk about, it's the call-in number is 917-889-3251. Again, it's 917-889-3251. We appreciate all your support. Say no to drugs, smoke weed, and, you know, stay away from...
Man, you just took my whole medical marijuana thing and just trashed it just by saying smoke weed. Hey, I told you, man, the medical marijuana doesn't have THC in it, man.
I didn't say anything about THC. Hey. Man, all right, man,
you crazy.
You know, I mean, you could always move out to Colorado. Any of our listeners, if you want to call up from Colorado, you could try some of the medical marijuana and they call into the show. You know, you might actually get a kick out of some of the stuff we be talking about.
Oh, man.
You might be just laughing. We might have to kick you off the line. But we could just put you on the listening queue, and then we can cue you back in. You might have to just laugh. It's all good. It's healthy.
Yeah.
Keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know, keep smiling and keep motivating and making that money to support your family. We're over and out. This is Keys from Boston. My man Lee from Denver, keeping it real every time. Lee and Keys Real Talk for another one. Lucky number 22. We are over and out. So all a good night. Lee, you got any last words?
Later. Nah, man.
Right,
everybody
people,
have a good night,
you.
Man. See y'all on episode 23. Later.
See you there.